This is a Deese World production in association with Pants Pending Studios.
You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
I'm like Jesus with better abs.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Deese World Studios in Spokane, Washington. This is The Social Hour. On today's show, hip-hop artist True Justice with Jack Dobson. And now your host, breaking out all his AOL discs because he doesn't trust those 5G towers, Deese Casillas.
Malam Keen, everyone, welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. I am Deese. Thanks for coming around for another episode of The Social Hour. I know we've been gone for a couple weeks, some sporadic episodes, but we are back this week with a brand new episode. I'm going to be on the road here soon, too. Former producer Traz Swartout and I are hitting the road, so we are going to be bringing you a bunch of new content over the next few weeks to fill all your quarantine blues and downtime. No Sophie, no Jeremy with me this week. Again, letting them stay quarantined and make sure that they don't kill their families. But since I don't value my life, my guest is working with the public all the time anyway, we decided we're going to have a little sit down, do a little one-on-one. My favorite type of episodes, you get to really dig in and talk to, get to know people. So in studio, we have hip-hop artist. He just released his latest album, Ambivalence. It's available on Spotify, Bandcamp, and more. Welcome to the show, True Justice. How you doing?
Doing very well. Thanks for having me, Deese.
Yeah, thanks for coming, man. I was excited to sit down and talk to you. I love hip-hop. Hip-hop is my, like, God, I grew up in L.A., so hip-hop is... I grew up in L.A. in the 80s, so hip-hop is in me, man. That's where it's at. So I'm excited to talk to you. I actually... This is a little exciting also. I'm actually featured on this album.
On the album.
I'm on the album. So it's even better, guys. Go check it out. When was this? This is Thursday, so this album was released just a couple days ago, right?
Yeah. Okay. Cinco de Mayo.
So it's planned for that. Yeah, all right, yeah. And now, how many albums have you released?
This is actually my only second actual album. Everything else has been mixtapes. I've released about 12 to 13 mixtapes before that.
Okay. So, wow.
Yeah, I've been doing it a long time.
So about how long have you been doing music for?
I started recording when I was about 14, so... close to 20 years I've been recording. I've been writing since I was 11, so I'm 31 now. So 20 years.
And damn. Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah.
And are you from Spokane? You grew up in Spokane?
Yeah, I was born here, Sacred Heart Hospital.
Wow. All right. Born and raised in Spokane.
Yeah.
Now, you are Mexican.
Yeah.
How was it growing up in Spokane, Mexican? I mean, was it different when you were, there's less... There's less brown people here when you were younger, probably. It's changed a little bit in the last, in the 10 years I've lived here, it's changed a bunch. So how was it for you growing up here?
You know, I was one of those kids. My mother raised me to not really be well aware of it, really.
Yeah.
So, I didn't notice really until probably when we went to go visit my family in California and then seeing the cultural difference
sure.
like coming back to this. But really, that was just like a change of food and language.
Yeah.
More so rather than anything else visually I was noticing until high school. And that's when it realized all of a sudden races started clicking differently.
Sure. I think people come online and like become a little more self-aware of who they are. And that's so that it just kind of automatically becomes more identity, you know. So your family's from California. I mean, you know, where, what part of California?
Visalia.
Okay. Yeah. And is your mom, are both your parents Mexican?
No, my mom is Mexican. My dad is just a white boy. I don't know about really much about what he really is.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's usually the other way around. Mexican dad and the white mom. Yeah. Now is your mom, where was your mom born?
She was,
was she from in born in America or born in?
Yeah, she's from the States.
Oh. Hey, guys. Jack's joining us. She's late to the party. It's okay. Welcome, Jack. This is Jack.
Hi, Jack.
Let me get, I'll get you. I don't know if you were coming or not. I thought you fell asleep.
No, I just texted you. You said 7, and it's 7 right now.
It is 7 right now. You're right.
You started early.
We started at 7 when I said we're going to start.
You said he was getting ready. Actually.
All right.
Okay.
Well, Jack's here. Sorry. We're talking about. So, your mom was born. I'm sorry. You said your mom was born where?
In the States. Okay. In California. Even my grandparents were born in the States.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My grandfather was born in Roswell.
Okay.
And then my grandmother was born in. Gosh, I'm gonna get it wrong. Modesto or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, that sounds about right. Yeah. That's a lot, a lot of Mexicans there. Yeah. So, do you speak Spanish?
No, very very little. I never had it out here.
Yeah,
of course. And then in high school, I had a friend that was from Tijuana and another friend from Costa Rica.
Yeah,
they tried to teach us some things, but I ended up going to Wisconsin for a year.
Okay,
and. Of course, there was nobody out there for me to continue with when I came. And now I finally don't have much use for it anyways.
Yeah.
I still love it. I hate that I don't know it.
Yeah.
You get judged when you don't know it.
It's a weird thing. No, I get it. Because I don't really speak Spanish either. And it's for me, it was, I always tell people, like, oh, why don't you speak Spanish? I'm like, so, like, my family's story is my grandfather, Fernando Hernandez Casillas, literally, it's a true story. He rode a donkey from Jotepec, Mexico, to America in 1929, right? Like, that's my grandfather I grew up with. And he had 14 kids, you know, like Mexicans do. a lot of fucking, we breed like crazy. I always say, we breed fast, you can deport us. Like, his idea was I worked so hard to get here, like, and he raised his kids to, like, they spoke Spanish because my grandparents didn't speak anything in Spanish. He's like, you guys be American, you know. So they, like, my dad and his siblings didn't really teach the next generation Spanish because they're like, it was like a stigma for them, you know, growing up to be Mexican Americans. Like, no, we want you guys to be American American. Like, don't, you know. So it was, it's weird. And I've, when I was a kid, I was better at, I still have an ear for it, but like, I don't speak it very well, but I can, I can usually pick up context. When I travel, like, I go to Costa Rica specifically a lot, actually. And, you know, I can usually get what people are saying, you know, I can grab a couple words out and be like, all right, I got that. I don't really know how to respond to it in, your language, but I got what you're saying. So,
yeah, we had to actually, very similar thing. My grandparents didn't teach their kids because they thought it would be easier for them to grow up not having that judgment on them, which I have witnessed some crazy arguments between my grandfather and some uncles in California about that because they taught all their kids Spanish.
Sure.
And I remember I was a kid and hearing them argue back and forth, and my uncle was just like, we're Mexican Americans, you know, we're Mexican American. My grandfather's, no, we're American Mexicans.
Yeah,
and I was like, I'm gonna stay out of this.
Like,
one.
I don't know, man. In Spokane, everyone's just white. Yeah. I don't know. it's a weird thing. I mean, I understand it is kind of frustrating because it is, you know, would have been nice if that. I mean, I get it culturally for how they had to grow up, you know, why they did it. But also it's like, yeah, you know, I mean, it would be nice. You really could just, like, just one parent just speak Spanish and then the kid just really is raised learning two languages. Yeah. So, you know, it's but, you know, whatever. It is what it is. So So you grew up in Spokane, and you started doing music. You said, just, I mean, super young, man, like writing music at 11. So what were, for hip hop, what were some of your influences?
I remember the first CD that I purchased by myself was a DMX single.
Oh, nice.
That What's Your Name? And I remember, and since it was a single, it was just the same song all the time. And I think it brought out like the aggressive mind state in me.
Yeah.
You know, what's my name? Like, it's just like, oh man, whoo, getting all hyped all the time. But nothing hit me more than when Eminem released that Marshall Mathers LP.
Okay. His second CD. All right.
That's when I transitioned into like being able to actually release my emotions.
Yeah.
Growing up, you know, Mexican with a, you know, no dad around, it was, you know, you had to be the man, you had to be, you know, there's stigmas there too, especially from a Mexican mother who wants you to, you know, toughen up, man up, and having emotions or being sad wasn't really okay. She always taught me, you're not a victim, don't act like one.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh shit. And I couldn't process it all. So when I started writing, it really helped. And all of a sudden Eminem was the one who showed me like, it's okay to be angry.
Right.
And actually just release these horrible thoughts so you get them out there in a different way.
Yeah.
And then Tupac, of course. I was so young when Tupac died, so I didn't get a whole lot into him until after he passed. But he really helped me process my observations of things, of seeing and telling stories. And that's what I love to do the most is, you know, transfer every visual I have or things that I see and put it into a story on the song.
So. Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, how old are you?
I'm 31.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, what, Tupac died in 96? Yes. Yeah.
I was like seven.
Yeah. God. All right. So, yeah, I mean, I grew up in a little different era. I'm 37, maybe 38. I'm 37. I can never keep track. It doesn't matter.
What point do you stop losing track?
Man, like 10 years ago for me. I'm like, literally, I have a cousin who is almost exactly a year younger than me, and we, you know, when I was still living in LA, we've hung out all the time, and I mean, I saw him every day, and every time someone asked how old I was, I'm like, how old are you? And he'd tell me, I'm like, I'm a year older than that. that's how I kept track of how old I was. I'm like, Primo, how old are you? Okay, you're 27? I'm 28. I definitely remember, you know, grew up more on like Tupac and things like that, and then you know, things definitely did change in the hip-hop world when I think Eminem was definitely a changing point for hip-hop in general. I mean, music as a whole, really. But I always have this conversation with people because everyone, so you mentioned Eminem, you say Marshall Mathers LP, you think that's his best album?
I don't know. Eminem Show to me was like a masterpiece from start to finish, and it wasn't so as controversial as Marshall Mathers LP. Mm-hmm. But to me, Marshall Mathers LP just stuck out more because that's what enlightened me so much.
Yeah,
because it was such a game changer. Just
sure
with the content and the absurd visuals he was painting.
I mean,
who makes a song about murdering their wife?
And, yeah, man. I mean, you know,
I still like the first album.
I do too, actually. Slim Shady LP is still the one I go to the most.
Yeah. In
that,
it's a wonderful album. It really is. It's creative. It was different. I think that was.
It was fun. It's terrifying at the same time.
Yeah, well, yeah. It definitely. I remember the first time I heard it. Hi, My Name Is. I'm like, the hell is this? And I didn't love that song, but I kept hearing more about him. So I found the album. And it really, like, it took me a couple, probably, I couldn't put my finger on it. I couldn't wrap my head around the album. I kept listening to it, but something, I didn't love it my first months of listening to it. But then, like, something kept drawing me back to it. And then after about, like, a year, I'm like, oh, I fucking love this entire CD. You just start to, like, get what he's doing.
Yeah.
So, I always ask people this now, because I don't listen to new music. I don't even know how people find new music anymore, you know?
Yeah, I got a buddy who just sends it to me.
Is that what, so like, what in the world of hip hop, like, should I be listening to? What's out, what's new that I'm missing?
There's so few new guys that I listen to. I mean, like, I really enjoy Joyner Lucas.
Okay.
He's a big one for me right now just because he's a storyteller and his videos are insane. Other than that, like, Kendrick was the last new person I really got onto.
Yeah.
And, like, every once in a while I hear something. For me, it's just got to be different. It's got to be lasting. I don't like all these radio hits that, you know, they come out. And my son loves all that shit with the stupid-ass dance songs and the, you know, oh, my God, everything's auto-tuned and everything sounds the same. And I need some difference. Like, something's got to, like, Jelly Roll. I even like him now. Like, he's crossed over that country hip-hop vibe.
Okay.
Doing it really well and, like, almost a blues feel, too.
Sure. Yeah, when you can start crossing over genre, I mean, music is now it's become, like, this ubiquitous thing where these, it's almost things are, like, have no genre. You know, I think, B.O.B. did a really great job of really crossing over a lot of different forms of music and making it so you could... You weren't like restricted to just these very typical, like, especially him being from Atlanta, which has had a very distinct sound in music, and, you know, breaking out of that into so many other genres, and you're like, oh man, okay, it's, you know, you can do so much with it now. So, yeah, I never, people always try and send me stuff like, hey, listen to this. And even Kendrick, like, there's some songs of his I like, but I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, I always feel like I have a version of that already that's as good or better. I'm like, I don't need like a new version of that that's kind of the same or just like a little bit less. Like, I'm like, I'll just, I got plenty of old music I can go listen to. Yeah. You know, I mean, like, my go to, you know, I grew up in Long Beach, so my go to is like G-Funk. I mean, that's what I grew up on, and I mean that's the neighborhood I grew up in, and what I love. Like, so, I mean, I go to old school, you know, Snoop and Nate Dogg, Warren G, and Dog Pound, all that stuff. So, I mean, I've got, and there's a million of those. Yeah. I'm like, I've got that all day. I don't need, you know, so.
Yeah, no, I get that. Definitely get that, because I mean, if somebody gives me a choice and is like, hey, put on a record, 99% I'm gonna put on Johnny Cash.
Yeah,
like, that's the, I mean, I just like old school stuff and like those kind of vibes, rather than this, I don't know, just because it's forever music in my eyes.
Sure.
And I love oldies.
Yeah,
love them.
Yeah, same. Yeah, oldies, it's weird. I have a very eclectic taste in music, and I mean, I love like Johnny Cash, super oldies, even stuff like the Crystals and the Ronettes and like this old school music, like, you know, 50s, early 60s stuff. And then I like this crazy hip hop stuff, and people are like, man, you've got this fucking range. But I don't know. Is there any type of music you don't get into?
The screaming, like, that's really hard for me. Mainly because I'm such a lyric guy, and if I can't understand what they're saying,
sure,
which blew my mind when a couple of people were like telling me what they were saying. I was like, you can understand, they can understand clear as day, and that's hard for me. And country songs, really, unless it's like there's some classic country songs I really like, but overall, to me, it all sounds the same.
Yeah. It's weird how you in it. It's just. I think it's just purely wiring. People are wired a certain way. And when you're wired for like hip hop, even if it's not great hip hop, there's still kind of a formula. There's still kind of a flow. There's still kind of like, a groove and a rhythm to it. And then that's still, even the hardest songs still have a smoothness to them. When you go to like screamo rock, it's like so abrasive that you're like, I mean, I have no, like, I just, this is like, all sharp edges, you know, I can't even wrap my head around this right now. The new, what do they call it? Like stadium country, or what do they call it? It's where it's all just like, just the same, just anthem or something, country anthem shit. So anyway, yeah, old country. There's some old country that's definitely good though. So what kind of, like, where are you drawing your inspiration from for music then? I mean, you know, you've been doing it for a long time. Like, how has it changed compared to how it used to be? Besides, you know, you mentioned that, you know, Eminem kind of gave you, kind of opened up your eyes as to a new way of being able to, what you talk about. But I mean, where are you at this point, where are you drawing your inspiration from for your music?
Currently, it's really drawn from my visuals of the nightlife of downtown. Right now, it's a whole lot of just like community issues and what I see. Drawn to also my just being in my head all the time and just seeing different stories under wrap from other people, which changed a whole lot. Like when I was a little sap when I was 11 and started writing.
Yeah.
And it started with poetry because there's a girl I had a crush on.
Sure.
Couldn't get her out of my head. So I was like, sorry, right. And then I showed a couple friends. They're like, this is really good. And I was like, oh. Like I was able to get my feelings out and
right.
somebody actually enjoyed it. How do I keep doing this? And then, of course, it turned into songs. And I only started rapping because I can't sing.
Sure. Like,
if I had that voice, I never would have started rapping and probably would have went down
get
a whole
that R&B
way.
Route. Yeah, yeah. Get that.
but you know, I had to accept that. And then, you know, like I said, then when I heard things like Eminem talking about these, I was just like, oh my God. Because I was just a sad and angry kid most of the time when I was younger. Not having the daddy issues of the
yeah.
absentee and things like that, and not getting the girl and things like that for so long. And then I had this, God, probably 5-year block of where it was just all street hip-hop, where it was like, you know, I got involved in that kind of stuff and affiliated with some gang members and things like that. So everything was like, oh, I'm a thug. And
sure, yeah.
I just was listening to some old stuff, and I'm just like, God, like, I don't even want to listen to this no more.
Sure.
I'm the furthest thing from it now. But that's where I was going, and that's, you know, probably what music helped save me from, too, was realizing that I would rather be the guy talking about what I'm seeing than going and getting in these situations just to put them on record like a dumbass.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that's it's good experience, though, to give you more insight and more kind of reflection and,
yeah.
you know, a deeper version of what you're doing now.
Yeah.
You know, it's not as hollow. There is some experience, and you were able to kind of wrap your head around it and be smart enough to get out of it and put that into your passion.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this, my mom always told me everything happens for a reason. I hate it, but I really believe in it. You know, it wouldn't change a thing, you know.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
It all led me to where I am, and it was needed at some point. So just glad I got out when I could, because I knew a lot of people who didn't. So,
yeah, yeah, no kidding. Now, do you do live performances regularly or –
Oh, not regularly. I used to back when I released my last album.
Okay.
I was doing them all the time. And then we were going to – so this was back in 12 or 13. Me and my guy On One and Wildcard, we were going to go do a tour. And then last minute, some dates got messed up, and I ended up not going. And this is when I actually first met my wife.
Okay.
And I tell her to this day, I don't believe if I would have hit that tour, we would have ended up together, because
yeah.
that was going to be like that turning point of all in. And when it didn't happen, I went all in with her. And then I released the Drink and Dry Water in 2014 and just gave it all up and didn't do shows anymore, with the exception of one, a feature performance for On One.
Sure.
And then, I missed it. My punching bag, my therapy, my everything. So I told my wife, I want to try to balance this back in, which is not easy because I'm an all or nothing kind of person.
Yeah.
So this is my attempt at trying to get back a little bit and understand that it may not be the money maker for me, but it's definitely therapeutic enough to want to keep doing
worth
it.
Doing. Yeah, it's weird that way with art. I mean, that's you know, having done a lot of different stuff over my life, when you know, and then comedy mostly for the last 10 plus years, it becomes something, yeah, you kind of have to, it's kind of all or nothing, you know. So it's good to be able to find balance, especially, you know, at once you get a little older and have a family, and then can kind of settle in and go, okay, we've kind of got this down, so maybe
yeah.
I can still find this other, you know, at least an outlet and be able to still do something you enjoy. Have you thought about doing any more live performances? Is that on the...
I've definitely thought about it. I, of course, we got to wait till all this madness is over.
Yeah.
See what it's going to look like. I get asked quite a bit. It's tough. The show scene out here, which I haven't been as much a part of over the last few years, but it's tough. There's so many, or there used to be so many shows all the time, and they would stack them with like a dozen artists, and then they would... some of them were pay to play, you know, like you got to pay a fee to be put on the
yeah.
show. And I was like, I don't want to do that. And then you did other ones where they're like, okay, well, if you want to perform, you got to sell this many tickets. And
yeah.
You do that, but you get no incentive out of it besides a drink token.
Right.
And I'm like, what am I doing this
yeah.
for? But, and it's tough. It was such a competition back then where, like, let's say, somebody brought in 30 people for, you know, their act. Well, they would all go outside and smoke during everybody else's performance.
Right.
And then they'd all come in for that one person. It's like, well, this isn't helping each other at all. so it's weird. I had myself invested in a lot of different people throughout all this where they turned their back or they showed their disloyalties, to where it really pushed me away from wanting to do this.
Cause yeah.
I was like, you know, I'm a believer in respect and loyalty, honesty. Those are huge. And when you feel like you got somebody who's like family watching your back, being a part of your team, and that you can't even trust them, then it's like, okay, I'm just in this for myself now.
Right.
And that's what, you know, this was a good experience for me, putting myself into anybody else except for myself for this project. So just going that way now.
So do you record in Spokane?
Yeah, I do almost all my recording at Moses Beats.
Okay.
4 AM studio.
Seems like popular place in anywhere. Now who's producing those beats then? Is that
he did a couple. I got some from On One. I got one from like a C-Ray and Unalienated Labor and Mark Schertz.
Okay.
And then a lot of them are like bulk leases I did.
Okay.
And have just like kind of compiled them over the years. So which that was always my tough thing is with all the mixtapes in the back in the day, you know, they weren't my beats at
right.
all. So it's
yeah.
like, or they'd have a tag in them and you can't do a whole lot with those. You can't bank off of them. And so this was a different one for me too, because Drink and Dry Water, Moses and On One made like every beat on that album. And so but it gets expensive. It's expensive to record.
Yeah,
music.
I can imagine, you know. And then because I mean you're front loading, you know, in an independent project like this, you're front loading and you know the investment in it and then trying to get it off on, you know, on the back end. I mean I'm sure it comes back, but it's not, you know, the next day. It's it takes a little time.
Yeah.
So.
And then, yeah, if you don't push it afterwards, then it's like, oh, man, what a waste. Or
right.
was it a waste? I don't know. And then you got, you know, feature costs for some people. Back when I was heavy on the scene, I wasn't running into many people that wanted money for their work on the projects. But since I was gone so long, I was kind of like, how's it going to be? It's just funny how that works too, because you talk to somebody who didn't charge you in the past, and then you talk to them now, and they're like, "Oh yeah, I charge $1,500 for a verse now." I'm like, "What the
damn.
Fuck?" Like, but then a week later, they'll be like, "But I got you for two."
Yeah. Well, all like, right.
Do you really charge?
Yeah. Right. Now you're just telling me that you act like I got a deal to get some money out of this.
Yeah.
So do you work with only local artists, or are there other people outside of the area you record with for this last album?
Primarily, I believe that everybody on this album is here. On the next one, I got somebody from Arizona, goes by the Zodiac, and all Washington-based, and maybe some Idaho.
Okay.
That's really it, yeah.
And you have another album coming out soon after this, right?
Yeah, I'm aiming for fall. I'm actually going to drop two separate albums and same day kind of thing.
Damn, so three in 1 year.
Yeah,
man, you know it's been a couple of years and just like bam, bam, bam.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess if you're going to be in the studio and knock them out, you might as well just you know.
Well, this pandemic thing, it's allowed me to write so much.
And sure.
So I had 70% of each of these projects written before this Ambivalence even released. So I was like, and when I get in the studio, I can knock them out recording them easy. So
just do it quick. Yeah. So how have you been navigating this whole pandemic thing? How's it been life? what's life like been for you since this started?
It's a clusterfuck, honestly. I don't know. I don't know what side to take. So I'm trying
sure.
to be respectful of it all. The conspiracy theories are out of this world.
What do you think about the 5G thing?
You know, I don't know.
Have you heard that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm open to hearing all of them for humor or for knowledge. But
sure.
for me, like, when I heard somebody argue, it was probably Joe Rogan, you know, which is one of my favorite guys to listen to.
Sure, he's same, yeah.
You know, he's just like, he admits he doesn't know shit, so he brings on people that do know shit.
Right.
You know, but he'll say, you know, if 5G towers are the problem and they're only in five countries, how is this a worldwide pandemic?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, that's how strong the towers are. And I was like, oh, my God, get out.
They got secret towers. Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, my daughter, she, my youngest daughter, she's four, and she ended up in the hospital a few months back.
Oh.
And she had all the symptoms of what this is, but we didn't, it wasn't being talked about yet.
Sure.
And when she
was like December, January, or
it was January or February.
Okay.
It was right before all the shutdown stuff started.
Well, they say it's been around in America since possibly as early as like November.
Yeah, I heard that. So. That's why we truly believe she had it.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, and they just didn't test because they labeled it as pneumonia.
Yeah.
And then we later found out that that's a side effect of the COVID.
Sure.
So, but everything from her shortness of breath to oxygen to the cough to everything, the fever. Her fever would not go away for a few days. And then she was in the hospital, I think four nights until and all that went down. And then they sent her home and... you know, so for us, we're kind of like, I think we already have been exposed to it.
Yeah.
Honestly, but we don't really know because they didn't do the test and they weren't testing like that unless.
Yeah, they barely have the test now, let alone back then, especially they didn't know what they would have been testing for. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a crazy time. What do you think about like moving forward, how this will affect, you know, music, but I mean society too. Like, what do you think the view of this is moving past this?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to, actually, just because my son, he's 13. Mm-hmm. So he's like, Dad, I can't wait for things to go back to normal. I said, son, nothing's going to be normal.
Right?
Nothing
yeah.
Nothing will ever be normal again. As like the amount of, regardless, I do believe the government has now seen what they can do to shut down things, what they
sure.
can control. Us as the citizens, we've realized how much money the government really has to assist
yeah.
and throw out there. I mean, if I'm still working through all this and my wife's still working through all this, and then I'm getting hero pay on top
yeah.
of it, and then I know so many people on unemployment that are so happy being on
yeah.
unemployment right now
yeah.
because they're getting so much money. But then I'm honestly wondering, why are you giving me a stimulus check if I'm still working? It just feels weird.
Right.
Why are you handing me money if nothing's changing for me? And where's it coming from? Where's it?
It's just made up money.
Yeah,
money doesn't exist.
Exactly.
It's not.
That's
it's not real.
Like, it's all so stupid. And
so you know, this is something I was hearing about the other day. So, one of their solutions is the Treasury Department can, at their discretion, mint new coins anytime at their discretion. So they're going to mint $2 trillion coins. So each coin, they're made two of them, and each coin is their platinum coins, and they're worth $1 trillion. Now, how they figure that out, I have no fucking idea.
Where did you hear that?
Yeah, is it a $1 trillion worth of platinum? I don't know. And then they're going to sell it to the Federal Reserve. So they basically, one form of the branch of the government just sells it to another branch, and then that will offset like something like half the money they're putting out for all this stimulus stuff for the deficit. And I'm like, this is such a fucking farce of like, just don't fucking piss on me and tell me it's raining, you son of a bitch. Just tell me, like, have you ever, there's this episode of South Park. Where they get like space cash. Have you ever seen this?
I don't know if I've seen that one.
So it's like, yeah, they're like, oh, it's space cash. And so they're like, yeah, they're just buying all this like crazy shit. And it just reminds me of that. It's the same thing. It's just this make believe like construct of like, oh, yeah, it's fucking, here's those money. And yeah, it's weird because they just, I think they've just found a way to just do whatever they want and keep people like, just satiated enough to like shut the fuck up, basically.
Yeah. And just all the distancing things and the masks and the gloves and then the it's weird because there's no structure. It's just people deciding to do certain things.
Right.
But I believe that, you know, a lot of the stuff we should have been doing in like smaller doses all this time with cleaning and sanitary and things like that.
Washing your hands. I've
never felt more comfortable going to the grocery store than I do now because I see them washing every cart every time it comes back.
Yeah,
in.
No kidding.
I see it. I see them taking a little bit more seriously at the cashier. If they cough, they cough into their mask to their side. And it's like, yeah, because you shouldn't be coughing all over your hands and then handing me my money or touching all my groceries. And I like the plexiglass stuff that's sitting in front of it. Like, I believe that's a wonderful just little
barrier.
Makes
me feel like I'm at a 7-Eleven back home.
Right. When I was in Milwaukee, that was every single store in Milwaukee. And I was like, you know, they're already prepared for this.
Yeah, they're already doing this coronavirus thing, man. Yeah, it turns out the gas station is when I was a kid. They were just, the AMPM mini market was just protecting from coronavirus. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was 3-inch thick Lexan instead, but same thing. Yeah, it's weird. You know, you mentioned how you tell your son it's never going to be the same. I was talking to my friend yesterday, and I'm like, yeah, they're, you know, I told her the same thing. I'm like, I don't think it's ever going to be the same again. And people are going to be doing this stuff out of fear right now, and then eventually they're going to kind of forget why we're doing it. But it's just the norm.
Yeah.
So it just becomes the norm, and then we're just doing it, and then we just keep, you know, and that's kind of the way it goes. And some of it, I think, like you said, the cleanliness stuff, I think, is good. Some of the stuff is, like, kind of scary, like dystopian future, like government overreach. It's like, just like, you know, I mean, it's like an
episode. The terror that people feel and, like, portray when you're out in public is crazy to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I mean, the government always wants to have some version of, like, a boogeyman that we should be afraid of. It was terror, then it was mass shootings, now it's public. Like, they always have, like, this thing they want us to be afraid of. So, yeah, it's strange. But, I mean, I guess, I don't know. What are you going to, I mean, it's just...
They're calling it plandemic now.
What's that?
They're calling it plandemic now.
Yeah,
yes,
right.
They have a new video, like 25 minutes long.
With that good lady.
I haven't watched it yet.
I watched it last night. Yeah. It's she worked on like the HIV, you know, crisis, and worked with some stuff with the Center for Disease Control, and it's interesting, but it's just, I mean, I can't. Nothing is like verifiable anymore. Yeah. There's nothing is like you can't on any side. Like, no, either way, you can't verify it. And it all sounds kind of crazy. And, you know, for someone says one thing on one side and then they in extreme on the other side, you're like, I don't even know what to think is real anymore. I know I don't trust the government beyond that. Like, I don't know. I'm pretty sure they're trying to screw us somehow. I don't know how, and I'm never going to have proof. But.
You know, even like when my daughter was in the hospital, those are the conversations I like to have with the nurses that were working there, and they didn't seem worried about it, and they're telling, "Oh, this is so ridiculous."
Right?
It's like if the nurses at the hospital at Sacred Heart, where they actually brought in people for this, you know,
right,
are not taking it that seriously, then that should tell us something. But then for some reason, I have to wear a mask when I walk through this unit, but nowhere else in the hospital.
Sure.
Like, this makes no sense. And then you got nurses coming in we were in a section where you were supposed to be gowned up with a mask at all times. Some of them coming in, nothing, still coughing. I'm just like...
Yeah, there's no consistency of this. It's just like the illusion of, well, it's like, you know, 9/11 happens. Now we all take off our shoes at the airport and we're safe. It's like that's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. This is it. This is all we put. If I have a liquid over 12 ounces, I stick it in a baggie or what? What the fuck are you talking about?
Well, it's Domino's. I ordered from Domino's recently. Mm-hmm. And this pissed me off, honestly, just because it was such an awkward interaction. But I went outside to have a smoke in my backyard. My son comes and gets me. He's like, "Hey, Dad, they need you to sign something." And I was like, "Oh, their whole ordeal was a no contact delivery, and they'll leave it here." So I was like, "What the hell?" So I go out there, and I see my food sitting on my stairs, and he's about 20 feet back with his mask and gloves on.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Yeah, I just need you to sign that for me." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." And I'm like, "Look." He's like, "Oh, it's here." So I pick it up and sign it, and I go like, and he's like, jumps back. He's like, and I was like, "Oh, okay, I can't hand it to you." Yeah. He's like, "No, just put it back on the stairs like it was a fucking bomb."
Right.
Like,
but you touched it.
Yeah, yeah. I touched it, and he's about to take it back to his store. And
this wild,
I'm like, this is so weird.
Well, we were in, I think we were in Sandpoint a couple weeks ago. Jack and I were in, or last week or whatever, and we went through a fast food place to eat. And so to pay, they have like a little like plastic like box. It's like 4 inches, you know, square. And you drop your, they're like, they stick the box out the window. They're sitting out the window like they, you put it in the box, which they're holding, and they take it out of the box and they use it. Then they put it back in the box and they give it to you. I'm like, what are we doing right now? What the fuck are we doing?
Wild.
It's, you know, it's, yeah, it's these idiotic, it's one of these things where I never understood. Like, I get it. Like, it's as if some, these aren't regulations that like these alien overlords came down and mandated. These are things we created and imposed on ourselves. Yeah. And then it's like, what are we doing? Are like at Safeway, they've got all the pin pads. They wrap them in plastic, but it's still just the same plastic on it all day. I'm like, I'm still just, everyone's touching these. Yeah. No one is, you're not spraying it down or changing the plastic after every customer. Yeah. It's,
yeah. Well, yeah, I'm looking at limes the other day and I'm like, I don't give a shit. I'm not going to buy the lime just because I touched it. I need to find the right lime.
Yeah.
So I'm like, and all I'm thinking is like, how many other people are still doing this? I'm like, this is ridiculous. Nothing is, the inconsistencies are ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a, there was a lady, I was leaving the grocery store the other day and I was pushing my cart. I unloaded them into my car. I was pushing my cart back to the corral to put it away, you know, and in the parking lot, and this old lady's coming my way and she's got like a mask on, no gloves but a mask, and I'm like, all right, I kind of give her some room, I kind of like, you know, give her a couple of feet because she's obviously a little paranoid, she's got the mask on, and she kind of says something to me and I can't really hear her through the mask. I'm like, what? She says again. I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. She goes, I'll take that cart. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I hand her the cart. And then I start walking away and she just, I mean, she just grabs the cart and like off she goes with it. And I'm like, okay, so you have a mask on, but also no gloves. And you're just going to grab this cart that another stranger was just using. Yeah. Just off you go. I'm like, are you afraid of this virus or not? Yeah, afraid? Right? Which yeah. one is it? Cause you just, you don't seem to understand exactly how this is working. So, but
I found some humor in it. I have a niece that she's like 6 or 7 and, she shaved her eyebrows off.
Oh, really? And, on purpose?
Yeah, on purpose. My wife's telling me about it. I'm like, but she looks at her mom and she says, it's the Rona. It's really getting to me.
Yeah, it's coming out in weird ways, yeah. Man.
Too much TV. I was like 7 or 8.
Yeah. What was the thing? You've got some kids. How have your kids been dealing with your, you know, having kids during this? Is it weird for them being out of school? Or like, how are they, you know, wrapping their heads around, you know? I couldn't imagine what I would have felt like as a kid and trying to, like, deal with the fact we're having a worldwide pandemic, yeah. I guess. You know, how is it affecting them?
My son is going crazy because he wants to go to the mall and hang out with his friends.
Well, he's 13, like, you yeah. said? So he's at that age where yeah. he just wants to get, yeah. just go. Yeah.
So, and luckily, he's always grounded anyway, so it hasn't been.
I was like, yeah. if you get grounded during the quarantine, man, you are doing something special.
Right? You're that's right. Oh, you are a special kind of stupid. But my 8-year-old, she's struggling. She misses her friends. And then my 4-year-old, she had just got into preschool. So that's probably the biggest heartbreaker.
Yeah.
She's been isolated because of her health issues for so long that getting into preschool, meeting friends for the first time, getting some preparation for kindergarten was great. And now it's kind of like, watch daddy's tablet, I guess. You know?
Right.
Like, I'm
yeah.
sorry. Luckily, you have siblings, but they don't always want to play with her. So.
Now, are they doing school from home then? Is that?
Yeah. Yeah. They've done a pretty great job by sending like curriculums, and they have like video chat meetings and all this stuff. And something I stressed a lot in the beginning was trying to make sure that my kids weren't missing out on their education. Yeah. But then it became overwhelming. Like, I was like, I'm not a fucking teacher.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I didn't sign up for that. And then I started seeing some really cool posts online talking about parents calm down. It is more important to provide a safe home for your children right now. Remind them that you don't need to turn your home into a school. Mm-hmm. It's like they're not supposed to they're not supposed to have that mind state at home. It's supposed to be their safe space, their
yeah.
time with family. And I was like, yeah, fuck it. That's how I feel. So, yeah, do a couple hours or do an hour or skip a day. I don't give a shit. Yeah. You know? It's like, it really doesn't matter because I can't tell you a damn thing I learned from school.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, especially like 8. I mean, 13 is a little different, I guess, but 8 is just kind of like, yeah.
Well, the math he does, I'm like, you'll never.
Experiments with them and stuff.
Yeah, like, you know, something fun. I'm like, the math he does, I'm like, you're never going to use this. Right. Unless you become a math teacher.
Right, yeah. Are you going to be an engineer?
Yeah.
All right, then give it up.
Yeah.
Learn how to weld,
yeah.
or learn how to weave masks.
Yeah, there you go. There's the big one.
So, well, now how about have you thought about a quarantine song, dedicate something?
Of course, I considered it. I think as an artist, you think about it, but then when you see others have done it, you're like, okay, I don't want to be a part of the overdoing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard my guy On One's remix to Ignition.
No.
He called it the COVID edition, and it is hilarious. And once he did that, I was like, yeah, there's no reason to touch it.
Yeah, there's no going. Yeah, all right, no topping that. all right, so I have to ask every hip-hop artist who's on the show, your Mount Rushmore of hip-hop artists. This is how fucking bad I am at being an American. There's 4 people on Mount Rushmore. Is that right? Okay. So top 4.
Top 4 hip hop artists. Tupac, of course, is up there for me. And then I would probably, gosh, this is tough. It's always so tough. There's just so many. I would have to put M up there just because he transitioned in such a high selling artist and changed the game so much. I'd probably have to put Ice Cube. And Big L, maybe.
Okay, that's a respectable list. Yeah. I do love the Ice Cube pull because I love Ice Cube, especially his first few albums. And anytime, so I catch a lot of shit because I'm not a big Notorious fan. There's a couple songs I like. I get some of it, but mostly it's just kind of like, it's kind of generic hip hop of that era. Yeah. I feel like I don't think his flow was spectacular. I think he's a decent storyteller. But I'm like, if you like Notorious B.I.G., I'm like, go listen to Ice Cube's first few albums. And, like, he did it better. You know, he's a better, way better storyteller. His flow was never spectacular, but neither was Notorious's. So it was, like, kind of, you know, it was pretty, a little more simple, but still done well. Cube was one of the originals, man. So.
Yeah, no, it always turns into the Biggie and Pac thing. And I was never a big fan of Biggie. Like, I liked a couple of his songs, but like more like the "You're Nobody Till Somebody Kills You."
Yeah,
like that was probably my favorite.
Give me the
sky's
loot.
The limit.
Give me the loot is one of my favorite songs of Biggie's. That's
but he made party music for the most part, from what I remember, and that wasn't me. I was looking for that slums gutter real hardship shit, and so that's what spoke to me. And that's tough though, because you know I got Big Pun too. Like to me, he's got an amazing flow and a great storytelling, and just very innovative. But limiting it to 4, that's hard.
So, what do you think, greatest of all time? You got a number one. Who takes the number one spot?
For me, it just depends on what you're holding them accountable for being the greatest.
Yeah,
because there's greatest lyricists, there's greatest flows, greatest storytellers, greatest innovators. Like, Tupac will always be my monumental statue. Like, that's going to be my, you know, Rio de Janeiro statue of Tupac up here.
Well, I think he was the guy, when you talk about Eminem, who started, you know, kind of broke out in a different way and helped you understand being able to talk about different subject matter. I mean, Tupac was a guy that was doing, you know, he was doing songs like "Dear Mama," "Brenda's Got a Baby," and stuff like that, and really broke out, and like kind of showed some emotion early on, and really showed that like not every song is about bravado and what, you know. I mean, he really had a lot of duality, which was I think what really made him this, you know, stand out.
Yeah,
compared to others.
Part-time mother, like, do you remember that song?
Yeah,
that was a huge one. I mean, "Brenda's Got a Baby" changed my life.
Yeah,
but. Part-time mother was huge too, and just you know, me and my buddy were talking about that. We're like, think about who's like seriously changed the direction of hip-hop by going outside the box. There's not a whole lot that have,
right?
And it's impressive when you get to see them do that and it gets accepted. I think that's the hardest part too. I'm sure there's a lot of tried, just didn't catch that right one.
Sure. Yeah. So your last album again, the latest album, Ambivalence, is available on Spotify, Bandcamp, and more, is released on Cinco de Mayo. So it is out now. Cinco de Mayo, did you celebrate? You do anything?
I drank more than I wished I would have. Yeah, that's for sure. Which I wasn't planning to. It turned into a shot game and mixing too many liquors.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Too many, more than just tequila, going for it all?
Yeah, I had whiskey, tequila, some of this weird Long Island iced tea mix thing. Oof. And then my Old English, I always drink.
Yeah, we talked about that the other day. That was the first thing I ever got drunk on. And I was like 7 years old. My cousin Michael got me drunk on it. My cousin Michael was like 20 at the time, and he thought it'd be funny to get me drunk. And apparently it was funny. And then I had a crippling alcohol addiction for like 30 years after that. So fuck. No.
You said you were seven?
I was like seven or eight. Damn. Yeah. I was really young.
I was 11 when my cousins got me drunk, and they thought it was hilarious too. I got grounded too.
Really?
And I was like, this ain't my fault.
Yeah, I didn't do this shit. But my parents. I didn't even realize either. Like, that was like the first time I remember being like drunk, a kind of like a memory. But also, my parents used to throw these big parties at the house, and they'd have a bunch of people over, and they'd just be getting hammered all night. And my cousins and I, we would always like, you know, slide into the kitchen when no one was looking, and they'd have pitchers of margaritas, and we just like start pounding off the margaritas, and they had like boxes of Franzia, like box wine, and we were just telling if we could like hit that faucet and like glug glug glug. And like, I didn't really, like, looking back, it hit me one day, I'm like, oh dude, we were getting hammered all the time. Yeah. Like, we were just shit faced like fucking every other weekend. I was like, 8 years old, just, and then we'd run around the neighborhood to like 2 a.m just being assholes. But we were like, I mean, you know, all the parents in there were at the house getting drunk, so all the kids just run around doing what the hell we wanted to do. But yeah, I do, and it's funny because I told you the other day when we were talking, I still love Old English. The last time I had it, I think, was over a year ago. It was like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. I was doing a show at the Checkerboard, and they sold 16 ounce cans of Old English. Okay. And I'm like, I saw it in their back fridge. I'm like, like, how long have those been there? And she's like, well, I don't know. And I'm like, ah, fuck it, I'll take one. Like, I want one of those bad boys. And I still enjoy the taste of them. I'm like, I genuinely like these. Yeah, so
that's me too. Everybody I talk to, they're like, it's so nasty, I can't. I'm like, it still tastes it's delicious.
Good. Man. I used to, my tradition used to be that it wasn't summertime till I drank a 40. And that was like when summer started for me. I'd go daytime, buy a 40. Although when I couldn't drink them anymore, is they change them to the plastic bottles. I'm like, ah, fuck that. It's not the same.
Yeah. No, I quit drinking for almost 2 years. And when I started again, that's when that transitioned.
Yeah.
It broke my heart because I used to go and get the 40s by the case and put them in my fridge, and I will not drink a 40 out of a plastic bottle.
I did one time, and I'm like, this is not, it's not the same.
No, it feels like, I feel like a punk. Yeah. Like, I just feel like a punk holding it. Like, here's my cool plastic
right,
bottle.
Right, like a squeeze bottle of fucking malt liquor.
Like, no, so I get the cans.
Yeah, that's better. The cans are good. Man. So with Cinco de Mayo just happened, your Latino heritage, I got to ask you a question. We're going to go, I want your power rankings on tacos. If we're talking chicken, carnitas, or steak. And what is the power ranking? 1 to 3. What's your, what order do you go in?
On those ones? That's tough, because lengua is my favorite.
There you go. But, that's right. Yeah. Lengua is, that's, where do you go for lengua in town?
So here I'll go to, I think it's called Tacos del Sol or something but it's got to be done right, because I went to like that Atilano's place one time and I did not care for it there.
Yeah, theirs isn't great.
And then my grandmother makes it, so I've always liked that. But the taco truck, it used to be downtown. I would hit that one quite a bit back in the day after shows and things like that.
Lengua's the best, man. It's so, if the one done right, it's so good. I used to always most people, I used to always trick people.
Tried it.
You see, you got to try it.
It's really good.
See, that's the thing. People don't want to try it. And I'm like, I used to trick people. I'd be like, here, try this. And they eat it. And they'd be like, oh, that's good. What is it? And then I'd tell them. And then they never want to have it again. I'm like, you just fucking said you liked it,
well,
man.
Like, you don't know. It's like you're in your kitchen with your grandmother and she brings it out as the tongue. Yeah. And then she walks around going, ah. like, when you're a kid, you're like, ah, no.
Well, my grandma used to make like a tripe too. So oh, yeah. You know, and she'd boil that shit. I don't know if your grandma ever did, but that's like the intestines of the mm-hmm. stomach, like pink line of the stomach, the intestines, and you boil it, and it fucking stinks when you boil it, but it tastes good later because she'd make menudo and stuff like that. Yeah. But it would taste great, but when you boil it, man, the house would fucking stink, dude. But yeah, if you're going steak, chicken, or pork, what order do you put those in?
I probably do just actually how you listed it. I'd probably do the steak, then the chicken, and then the pork. I probably get the pork the rarest, honestly.
Really?
Yeah. I'm a huge red meat guy, and then every once in a while, I feel like I need a chicken taco to be healthier.
pork. Yeah. The pork has a lot of range, though, depending on how people are doing it, too. Yeah.
It really does matter. It's all about how it's prepared. And
yeah.
And then also, I enjoy a fish taco once in a while, sure. Too, depending on how that's done.
Fish or shrimp, something like that. Shrimp? Yeah. When I lived in L.A. still, my buddy... this guy I met had a fishing boat, and we used to go out and catch thresher shark. Mm-hmm. And man, I'd have fillets of that in my freezer all the time, and I'd break that out in the summer. You get a fillet, just throw some lemon and a couple some seasoning on it, stick it on the grill in some foil, and let that heat up, just flake apart, man. That was that on some tacos was like the best. So I miss having that. All right, let's see. We do have some of your music here. We've got you some songs from your album. Let's take a listen. What song from the new album should we listen to?
Let's see. I don't know. Pick a type. If you want a party, if you want a sad. I mean, there's 40 tracks on there, so it's
40
hard.
Tracks. Yeah. Wow. Jesus Christ! It is 40. Holy shit, that's a long list. Man, you just go hard. What do you something that? And what's the one you're most proud of?
Most proud of. I don't know if we want to listen to this one. It's pretty sad, and it's almost 8 minutes long.
Oh, okay.
The most popular one is probably Better Days featuring C. Ray. That's
Better Days. Oh, second song on there. Okay, let's play that for you now. Stuck in the law and switching lanes. Stay down for the cause and never change. Working so we can all see better days. Make every second pay. Don't ever hesitate. And that's on everything. Now that I'm grown, I've gained a whole new perspective. So please pay attention. This is a lesson about respect. Always pay attention to the ones you standing next to, because family isn't given, but your friends can be selected. Your choices are affected by the judgment of others. If they leave you in the cold, don't invite them back for summers. It's a wonder how we make it through with everything we face. With the world so big, it's so hard to find your place. The pain is temporary and it's something to embrace. No need for the rush, you can recover at your own pace. In this case, we don't need to heal for the other ones. Do away with hate, sit and wait, and the love will come. I am just my mother's son, and she was just somebody's daughter. Something I appreciate since I became a father. I know you wanna get away and hold out for them better days. We gon' make it through, me and you, that's on everything. Since I gave my all to this day, it's never been the same, it's never been the same. Until I'm gone in the grave, they gon' feel the pain, they gon' feel the pain. Duck in the law and switching lanes. Stand up for the cause and never change. Working so we can all see better days. Make every second pay. Don't ever hesitate. And that's on everything. I know I've been gone. I just hope you know the reason why. And although you were still young, I need you to try. I've been on the grind, making moves for the future. I've been called a loser. Now I'm destined to prove I'm wrong. Life is full of choices and so many choose the wealth. I am more focused on being true to myself. Never losing touch with the beliefs I was raised here and listen to the guidance, but always be the one steering. Temptations will appear and they will seem like you cannot resist. Careful life, don't have a rewind. You will make mistakes, that's a guarantee I made.
plenty. Learn from them, now I'm ready. Anything they wanna send me. I was feeling empty like I know you have it, probably will. Many more times, that's a part of the deal. The stars will not align. You decide how to connect the dream. You determine your life. That's on everything.
Since I gave my all to this game, it's never been the same. It's never been the same. Until I'm gone in the grave, they gon' feel the pain. They gon' feel the pain. Duck in the law and switching lanes. Stand up for the cause and never change. Working so we can all see better days. Make every second pay. Don't ever hesitate. And that's on everything.
Yeah. Only cloud up in the sky is me. Only give you my perspective, I don't try to preach. I'm not trying to find a peace, I'm trying to find some peace. But I'm a beast, I promise you don't want no kind of beef. Kinda deep, design the beats, I mix and write the raps. Keep the pace, I'm laying dead the day that I relax. Don't hang your head, need every breath, we have to fight for scraps. I don't do confirmation bias, I provide the facts. Some pretending touching ends doesn't feed the fires. Seeking clout can see the doubt and doubt's a deep desire. Reaching for the cure, they're eager to release the virus. Just like all the ones who flee, they used to be beside us. When we tired and there's no one around to help us up. But even if the chips are down, we can bet on us. Do what you must, cause shit get deadly in this heavy rain. Just hold your head up, that's on everything.
Since I gave my all to this game, it's never been the same. It's never been the same. Until I'm gone in the grave, they gon' feel the pain. They gon' feel the pain. Duck in the law and switching lanes. Stand up for the cause and never change. Working so we can all see better days. Make every second pay. Don't ever hesitate, and that's on everything. Working so we can all see better days. Make every second pay. Don't ever hesitate, and that's on everything. That's on everything.
All right, again, that's True Justice, guys. The new album, Ambivalent, out now on Spotify, Bandcamp. Where else can people find it?
Everywhere. iTunes, Pandora, TikTok, Deezer, whatever that is, Tidal. It's everywhere. And physical copy should be here tomorrow, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on. And now, where else can people find your website, social media, shout out, all that stuff?
I got the Facebook started back up. You can find me on there under George Flopez 509. I'm on Instagram a lot. I believe that's just George Flopez, no 509. Just like George Lopez, but with the F.
All right. So go follow him, catch a, get all the updates on that stuff. And the new album's coming out this fall. Also, it sounds like back-to-back albums coming out around November, you said? Is that the idea?
I'm aiming for October.
October, yeah. November. Okay. All right, we're going to get out of here soon. Before we go, we're going to play a game we play with all our first-time guests. It is a game we call the Rundown. It's just a series of questions we ask. Gives just basic questions. The singular questions don't mean much. It just starts to paint a picture of someone and who they are and what they do. So if you just there's no just answer them honestly and we'll be good to go.
All right.
Okay, first question. Good question for anyone who does music. What is your name? A guilty pleasure song of yours, like a song that if you're driving down the road bumping this song, you roll up to like a bus stop
and you turn it down.
You turn it down and you're rolling up the windows, you know, you're gonna stop singing Cyndi Lauper when you get up there. What is it? What's your guilty, what's a guilty pleasure song?
Oh man, I got too many of them.
I know, I got a whole playlist. Yeah. On my Yeah,
a big one most recently for me is a Blake Shelton song called "Came Here to Forget."
Okay,
yeah, that's a big one for me because I will get into that, and as soon as I see people around, I'll turn it down.
Down.
Nobody's gonna catch me singing this country song.
Lose all my street cred. Yeah. All right, Blake Shelton, and what did you say it's called?
"Came Here to Forget," I believe. It's got this beautiful instrument in it that just, oh my gosh.
I don't know if I know any Blake Shelton songs.
Yeah, I don't know if I knew who he was until
voice,
that. Yeah,
right?
The Voice show.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
This is the song.
All right.
But listen to this instrument right here. It kicks. This. That. I don't know what that is.
It's like a piccolo or something. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. What the hell that is. It hits
me. All right. All right. This sounds like the soundtrack from like The Never Ending Story or something. Like, oh, now not anymore. I'm getting over her.
The eyes have it, babe. And I'll even try to put that accent on it.
I'm trying to. All right, we're going to let this play in the background. What is your, we'll continue on the music theme. What is your go-to karaoke song?
Oh, man, I don't know if I've ever done karaoke.
No karaoke ever? Nothing?
I don't think I've ever done it. If I were to, gosh, I don't even know. I've watched a lot of people do
yeah.
it, and I've just always thought.
Maybe you do Blake Shelton?
No.
Come here to forget?
No, maybe after some alcohol. Yes.
Yeah, a couple tequilas, some of that Long Island iced tea mix. All right. We'll go to the food world. If you could have one pizza for the rest of your life, not from a certain place, just a certain style, any toppings you want. You can get any toppings you want. But now that's the only pizza you can ever have for the rest of your life. So what would those toppings be? What would be on your pizza?
Mine would probably be chicken and bacon with barbecue sauce.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's a solid choice. Yeah. I don't hear that often, but that's a very distinct palate.
Yeah.
I like that. All right. How about sticking in the food world? Same question, only with fruit. If you could have one fruit for the rest of your life, only one, what would it be?
Oh, man. I would probably stick with a simple banana.
Banana?
Yeah.
All right. Not too tropical, yeah, but yeah.
Something I just never get sick of.
Okay, we'll go. We're going to go in the entertainment field. Favorite movie?
I'm a movie buff.
Yeah?
I have so many. I could never lay a finger on what my all-time favorite is, but I know a big one for me is Crash.
Okay, it's a good movie. I haven't seen that in a while. Yeah, it's a good one. What are some of the other favorites that come to mind?
Let's see, Higher Learning.
Okay.
Big one for me. Gosh, there's so many. I have a movie review page as well.
Oh, damn.
Just because I'm so into movies.
All right. Where can people find that?
True Reviews with a Z on Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And I just put them all on there. And then God, all the classics, like for me, like Blood In, Blood Out and La Bamba and those, I have like sections of favorites and
yeah.
favorites in each section. So
all
I
right,
never
okay.
put my hand on it.
It's the so it's hard to pin down. Crash comes to mind as the number one though for Orby. All right, if someone had to play you in a movie, who would play you in a movie?
Gosh, I used to be pretty confident in this, and then I gained a whole lot more weight. But it was always that Noel something. It's Hector from Fast and the Furious.
Oh yeah, and, yeah.
I always got compared to him in high school, and gosh, I think I'm bigger than Fat Joe now. Even, so I don't know if he can do that for me. But.
He got that lap band thing.
Yeah.
I think though, lost all the weight.
Yeah,
he's like anemic Joe. He looks like he's like a Haiti Joe now. all right, with celebrities. If you could choose one celebrity to be president, who's your celebrity president?
President?
Yeah.
Let's see. A celebrity to be president. Gosh. I'd like to give George Lopez a try. He seems to have
yeah.
a lot to say. I want to know what he would do in that position, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's got some ideas. Yeah, he's usually pretty outspoken.
Yeah.
All right. If you met aliens and you had to describe humans to them, how would you describe human civilization to aliens?
How would I describe it besides stupid?
That's a good start.
Yeah, I would I would just tell them to go back.
I mean,
y'all did this for so long. Don't be here now. We're going to fuck you up like we fuck everything up.
Yeah, it's going to be bad, huh? If you had to kill one endangered animal, which one would it be?
Do we have a list of what endangered animals? I don't even know.
I could get you one. Endangered species. A list of endangered animals. I'll name a couple, and you just tell me when that's the one you want to kill. Oh man, God, these are broken down into whole categories. There's newts. There's like polar bears. There's panda bears. There's the gray wolf, the jaguar, the ocelot, wolverines, bobcats. Man, there's all kinds of stuff. Polar bears, yeah.
Gosh, this is tough. I don't know what animals do good for anybody. I'll just go with the polar bear.
Okay.
Nothing deserves to be that white and clean looking all the time.
Yeah, Trump.
I can't keep a white shirt clean. So
yeah, right. Like, yeah, how do you keep that fur? What do you do?
Maybe it's because I'm comparing it to their coat all the time. So
yeah,
take that pressure away.
They using shout on that. What do you think is the most, like the biggest, most dangerous animal that you think you could take in a fight? What's the cutoff? You know, like is it guinea pig or is it like silverback gorilla or somewhere in between? Where do you think you would?
I truly believe I watched enough Gator Boys to be able to wrestle an alligator.
Okay.
I really do.
All right.
And I weigh 400 pounds, so I'm a little confident about it. I would still run away from a gorilla.
Yeah.
And a kangaroo. I would still run away from a kangaroo.
Sure. I get that. I feel like I'd... Here's where I would... where my one problem would be, like a kangaroo, like, is dangerous, right? They can kick the shit out of you. They're dangerous. But also, I feel like if I could get a rear naked choke on a kangaroo, like I could choke. I just gotta get his back and I could choke it out. Like, I feel like I could dip and dodge a crocodile. I don't know how I'd finish it off though. Yeah. That's like I don't know how to like
just the Happy Gilmore
right. Like, I guess like just run up and kick it and then kind of run off and be like, "Listen, motherfucker." Like I don't know how I would the kangaroo. I feel like I could at least kind of work my way around. You ever see that video of that Australian guy or I assume he's Australian because he was with around kangaroos. But like he's in the woods and this kangaroo comes after his dog and like tries to grab his dog and the guy like runs up and he like squares up like boxing stance and goes like crack and like cracks the kangaroo right in the face. You see the kangaroo kind of like look back like what the fuck just happened? Motherfucker just punched me in the face. Like he probably has no concept of how to even like nothing in his brain has ever taught him how to deal with a human running up and punching him in the face. So, just the look on his face of pure confusion is amazing. All right. Let's see. We already know what your rap name would be. Let's go. What would if you were a professional wrestler, what would your wrestling name be?
Ooh, my wrestling name. Gosh, that's a good question. I would probably keep it with some of my current aliases and go with Han Solo.
Okay. That's good. Since we're at the end of the world in the apocalypse, in a let's say in a doomsday / zombie apocalypse scenario, how long do you think you would survive?
Ooh. 6 months.
You think you can make it 6 months? Yeah.
That's... I mean, depending on how bad it was. I mean, if we're in like Book of Eli times, maybe a week.
Yeah, that's a little. Say like, let's say like Walking Dead style.
And is that the one where they run after you, or they?
No, they're slow zombies.
Okay. Yeah, I think I could do a few months for sure.
Yeah. You're resourceful. You can get some. You can find some food.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I'm definitely not a master in any of it.
Yeah.
I think I'd be able to hold my own for a while.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
6 months. All right, that's pretty fair. It'd be a tough, yeah, you know, the zombies always sneak up on you and get you somehow.
But I snore when I sleep, so maybe I'd be doomed.
Yeah, you
first night
out. Yeah. We made it half a night.
Yeah.
All right, guys, that's it. That's the rundown with True Justice. Thanks again. All right, we are going to get out of here for the evening, guys. Again, go to shout out where people can find you on social media, again, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Hey, find me on Facebook, George Flopez 509, Instagram, George Flopez, Twitter, Han Cholo 509. Yep, and the music is everywhere, literally.
Everywhere. New album, Ambivalence. I'm on the album, so check it out, guys. No, it's a great album. Buy it, find a physical copy, download it, pay for it, support the arts. And as for me, again, no stand-up dates scheduled until the end of the world, probably. I don't know. But, again, I will be reuniting with former producer Travis Sword out soon, so we're going to be cranking out some content here over the next week. New episodes of The Social Minute every Monday on the Social Hour page, Instagram, and D's Comedy. So go check that out. Support all the sketch comedy and stuff we've been doing. Getting lots of that out, trying to keep you entertained as much as we can. Anything else? Any last words?
No.
Thank you for having me, man. I had a great time.
Yeah, thank you. Come again when you release your next album. We'll have you back on and take a listen to those too.
Great.
All right, guys. And as always, go to pantspending.com. Check out all the shows on the network. Burr Martin Experience, The Never Ending Random Discussion. Bumbling Sanity is also back. You can go to Patreon.com/pantspending and donate, or you can do a one-time donation or subscribe. You can also go to Dees Comedy and subscribe or donate too. We bring you free content almost daily, but you can kick in. We also have the Double O Siete shirts for sale, $20. Hit me up if you want some of those. We've been selling through those even without doing touring. It's been nice. So, all right, guys, for True Justice, Jack, thank you very much, guys. And now for my weekly apologies. I'd like to apologize to the Notorious B.I.G., 5G Towers, the Marshall Mathers LP, White People in Spokane, Safeway, and Blake Shelton. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we will see you next week.
This podcast is a Pants Pending Studios production
and part of the Pants Pending Studios podcast network.
Find more of our great shows just by searching Pants Pending in your podcatcher.
For more information or to contact us directly, visit us at pantspending.com.
Please subscribe to this show, share it with your friends, like it on Facebook, and rate it on iTunes.
And we thank you for making us a part of your listening day.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending. Studios!